Good morning. We've had a lot going on this last week, and just want to encourage you all to keep praying, keep seeking the Lord, whether it be that 7:14 time on your alarm to remind you, but please, especially with, you know, people who are recovering from the hurricane, we were very, very blessed in the state of Florida for the most part, and then, you know, stuff going on in Beirut, and again, the unrest throughout the world. We need to keep lifting our world up to the Lord and trust in Him. But before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you gathered us here. Would you bless this time? Would you help our hearts and our minds to be focused, to be open to what you have for us? We thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you for your love for this world. And we pray, Lord, that we would be moldable and shapeable, open, ready for what you want to give us today. We give you thanks and we give you praise in your name. Amen. So the last few weeks, I've tried to unpack what the main thing of being a disciple is and how, first and foremost, it's about having our life being identified, our actions, our words, our thoughts, everything, because of who Jesus says we are. Because of what he's done in us and through us, and what he wants to continue to do in us and through us, that our worth and value come from him, not from what we think or what we've earned and so on. I also talk to you about the heart of a disciple, and that's how it's all about a relationship, how important it is for all of us to be centered in that it's not just rules or regulations, but it's about a relationship with the Lord, about knowing him and about being known by him. And so in that, we talked about how important it was to be connected to God. And we talked about, you know, again, through prayer, through God's word, and through other disciplines as needed. And talked about how your life should be marked, that your life and my life should be marked by God's work in us and through us, that we should demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and so on. It's that these qualities should be, like, exuding from our lives and permeate into other areas. And then I wanted to talk to you last week about what it was to have a mind of a disciple. We went over a lot of things, the importance of knowing the Old Testament, New Testament, our thoughts on who God is, our theology, and then, like, even a framework of the five-act play. And again, if you haven't seen it, please come and check back on our website, go to our Facebook page, and you can check out that message. But I think it's just so important to really understand God's word and what it has for us, hence why we launched some new studies, and we hope we'll see you there this week. But in this, we want you to remember that, yeah, it's not just about knowing God's word. That's crucial. It's not even just about applying God's word just in our own lives to change us and mold us, but it's important that we actually are able to teach others as well, and help them know it, help them live it out. And that's crucial for all of us, for us personally in our relationship with the Lord, but also for the next person that doesn't know and that needs to grow up in it. This week, I'd like to focus specifically on living on mission, how a disciple lives on mission with God, that it's not about us doing things for God, it's but doing it with God, which means that we're going to be really following his lead, not taking the lead. And so when we live on mission, we're understanding God's mission for the world, how Jesus led in ministry, and then what was his posture in life, and maybe how does our posture need to be more conformed to that image. And so one thing that kind of popped in my head is we've talked about a few times, it's called your frontline ministry. Your frontline ministry is where you spend the most time, where God has placed you so that you can be his hands, his feet, salt and light, that he's placed you there for a reason. Now, the church is its own frontline ministry, okay? But every one of us has a circle of influence, our neighbors, our family, places maybe where we work or where we volunteer, people that you have an influence in their lives. That's your frontline. And so how can you be on mission with the Lord in those areas? It's not to be afraid. I know this. I wish I had a better phrase than this, but it's something that just we want people to understand that where God's placed you, that's important. We have our community partners like MFI and Real Life Children's Ranch and so many others, but we also you're our partners too, and ministering where God has placed you. And so as a church, we're trying to serve you and help you in figuring out, discerning where God has placed you and how to best lead. And so I thought we'd just jump into a wonderful story, a story that you tend to hear if you've been in part of the church for a while, coming from Matthew 19, where you hear this maybe being read before a baptism. We have our school starting up August 17th, and we're praying for them, for the families, for our partnership with them. We know it's going to be a different year with all the protocols and everything, and we're going to do our best to obviously keep everything as safe as possible, but yet, how can we still partner and encourage them to take that next step, wherever they find themselves, in faith? And so I love how Jesus is really just trying to show his disciples and just, you know, he's present. He's been healing people before this. He's going to heal people after this. He's doing teachings. He's trying to, in so many ways, trying to connect with the people that are there. And that's the heart that I want to kind of land on today. Again, what's his posture? What's his focus? How does he handle those interruptions in life? Again, if we kind of go back a couple weeks, talk about that fruit that God lives in us and through us, and that as he works in us, we start to exude this love and joy and peace and patience and so on. Well, this is kind of one of those moments, okay? And the disciples are going to be taught a lesson and taught about kind of what's important in God's kingdom and how he's ordered his kingdom to bear. And so let's just jump into it, if you don't mind. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Now, that sounds really bad, but it was to bless them, okay, to pray over them. Okay, so he placed his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. I wanted to just kind of have that in its own little spot, only because I think it's important. We sometimes just kind of go from this, the first part to the next part, and we kind of like that. But the disciples missed it. They were rebuking the families and the children. Excuse me. They were trying to keep them away from Jesus. Jesus was doing really important work, and he didn't have time for the kids. How many times are we kind of interrupted by children or interrupted by other people, and we're doing busy work, we're doing important work, and the reality is maybe God wants that for a reason. Maybe we're being interrupted for a purpose. And says, but the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Woo, there's a lot there. Let the little children come to me. They don't have to have it all figured out. They just have to know they need it. So Steve and one of his grandchildren were here. I don't want to say which one. Let it be a surprise for the one that was here. They'll be like, oh, that was me. And so he was doing the announcements, right? And after he was done, one of his grandchildren, again, not to give you even a hint, goes, Papa, can I have a hug? And he goes, oh, yeah, come on up, of course. And he gave her a hug, and she was glowing. And it was just perfect. He had no idea what I was going to talk on today. He had no idea what the scripture was, and I thought that was just a God moment for me of how God just continues to just want to help us know how much he loves us. And maybe you need to know that he's waiting to hear from you. Maybe you need to reach out to God right now and say, God, I need a hug. I need a hug from you. Maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you just feel overwhelmed with what you're seeing on the news. I want to encourage you. Know that you can have the peace of God through a simple act of just humbling yourself and saying, Lord, I need you. Would you meet me right now? He is so good. He is such a good father. He says, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Again, praying for them. We don't know what these people did, what these children did, what these families did, but we do it in faith. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for people and keep trusting that God's working in them. But I highlighted that he went on from there because I think it's just crucial to remember that God's mission is on the move. It's a movement. It's not a monument. The church is always on the move. And so we might be isolated, or we might not be around as many people, or we might, again, just kind of being very careful where we go and stuff, and that's fine. but it's still on the move. So whether it's through a phone, whether it's through writing letters, whether it's through email, try to reach out to people, encourage them, let them know, keep praying for them, and just to encourage their hearts, because we all need that at times. So the question I have for you that I think that needs to be asked when it comes to, again, living on mission is, how did Jesus minister? What did he do? What was his understanding of ministry in the world? And first and foremost, he ministered in the world, and he ministered for the world. He didn't just kind of, you know, do a couple things and then leave. He was with people. He was in the mess. One of the things that I mentioned, but I hope it doesn't bug you too much, but I love the fact that Jesus, in the nativity scene, and you just have the mess of the animals, it just seems in chaos and almost like, this can't be right, this can't be what God intended. And it's just so perfect because it is in the mess of our lives that Jesus comes. And he can handle the mess. And so, in the world and for the world, and again, how he goes about it. Well, first things first, we always have to consider the context. What was Jesus doing in that time period? How did he do it? Who is he talking to? So persons, what were the needs? What was the background of that time period? How did Jesus approach various people in the accounts we have of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? In those four accounts, we have Jesus having multiple responses. One, what was his tone? Was he confrontational in that? Sometimes he was. When it came to the religious bullies, I like to say those religious leaders who were all about kind of propping themselves up with what they knew and how good they were, he seemed to just try to work to help them understand that that was not what God intended. That was not the way to truly living an abundant life. But then when it came to everybody else, he had a spirit of humility. He had a spirit that was open and accepting, and he asked great questions that stirred and challenged people to consider where they were at and where they needed to humble themselves, where they needed to repent, to change their thinking so that they could be the people God designed them to be, so they could have a relationship with God, so they could live on mission with him. And so consider the context. Another aspect was, how would Jesus begin in your life? Seeing what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how he worked with children, how he worked with people that showed him great appreciation, to people that just tried to trick him up and get him arrested, and so on. How did he do it, and where did he begin? And now apply that to our lives. How would Jesus begin in our life, in our environment? Here's the one thing I know is he always speaks the truth, but he always speaks the truth in love. It's this grace and truth. Truth and relationship. I remember hearing in youth ministry days this one phrase, and I've loved it ever since, that rules without a relationship lead to rebellion. And if you think that, if you see that this scripture, or you believe that this scripture is just a bunch of rules, then you're going to think that this is, you're going to lead to rebellion. It's not going to be this relationship that I'm talking about, that Jesus talked about. There's so much of what God intended in us, and yet we miss it. And we don't have to do that anymore. And so in that, how would Jesus begin it? Where, again, in our life and in our environment? And again, he had this incarnational posture. Now, it's a nice little fancy word, incarnation. Incarnation is believing, again, and understanding that Jesus was God in the flesh, that he was this God-man, and He became one of us. He lived amongst us in a specific place, time, and history that we have accounts not only in our scripture, but we also have these accounts outside of Christian writers and historians that track it. So, I mean, we have a time, place, history where God came and said, I'm going to choose this place, this time, this people to restore the whole world to myself, to begin that project, that kingdom-building project. And in that, his attitude and his posture, his attitude and his posture towards others. Again, if people were being religious bullies, man, he was much more attacking. And I say that in the best way. He it angered him, but it was things that aren't right. We see things that happen on the news with all the stuff going on with race in our country, in our world, we get angry about that, and that's okay. The things that anger God should anger us. The things that disturb God should disturb us. And whenever injustice is occurring in the world, it angers God. It is not good. And it should be something that we don't just sit idly by and we do something about it. We pray about it. We have good conversations. We seek, we listen, and we obey. One strong element that I think is just crucial for us to wrap our mind around, again, is this grace and truth. Depending on what tradition, where you grew up and came to your faith in the Lord, your church tended to, here's what I know about your church, tended to lean more either on grace or more on truth. And it's not that one's better than the other. It's a both end. It's not that, oh, we can't, you know, come on, we don't want to undermine God's justice and truth. No, we don't. But Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. So if he came in full of grace and full of truth, we need to respond and live in full of grace and full of truth, which means sometimes it gets messy. When you love people, it gets messy. People are going to disappoint you. Guess what? Yeah, we need to forgive them. Scripture gives just a really blanket description of a definition of why we need to do this, a purpose. And that's because we have been forgiven of so much by God that we should be eager to forgive others. Now, there's going to be those moments in our lives that it might be difficult. That's when you got to pray and say, God, I need your help forgiving this person. Or I need your help forgiving those people. I need your help in seeing that they're not just those people. That's why we started in the beginning of all this whole series about, again, how we all need a heart renewal. It's important for us to know that we can trust him, that he is working behind the scenes, in the scenes, around the scenes. Jesus said that his kingdom was like a mustard seed. Now, fun fact about mustard seeds is that they're tiny. They're not the tiniest, but they're pretty tiny. And they don't kind of grow up in these giant, like, oak kind of things. But no, they're kind of like... they get in the cracks and crevices, and they can start to just grow anywhere and everywhere, and they can overtake. And it's kind of like a shrub almost, but it's such a great picture of how there's no place God cannot get to. There's nothing that God can't work in and work through. Even the injustices, even the brokenness, even our deepest pain. And I'm not trying to whitewash. I'm not trying to pretend. Pain is real. Jesus understands pain better than all of us. He took it upon himself, the pain, the brokenness, the sin of the world, so that you and I, we could have a relationship with God. And so I want to invite you now to humble yourself and ask God to help renew your heart, to help you have the posture of Christ, to help you live on mission with him. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do humble ourselves. We ask in this moment that you would help us, pour your spirit upon us. For those of us that, man, Lord, we just have been so angry at so many things and so many people for so long, Lord, give us your strength. Through this prayer, may it be a means of your grace to help us forgive, to let go, to let you be judge and jury, to let you be the one who rights wrongs, to let you be the one who brings healing and hope and wholeness. But Lord, if we haven't surrendered to you ever, Lord, may we fully do that now. May we just humble ourselves and say, Lord, all my life I put in your hands. And I ask that you would be my Lord and Savior. And I would be the person you've called me to be. Help me to know you, help me to follow you, help me to be the person you've called. Wherever we find ourselves, Lord, in this moment, we pray that you would again still meet with us, do the deep work that we need, that you so graciously give to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. And so, like to give you homework, in case you were thinking, oh, he's done. No. So here's your homework. I want to invite you to take a look in the mirror. Take a good hard look what your thoughts are, the words, your actions, and really lay them before the Lord. Is there anything area, Lord, that you want to help me with? Is there an area of pride, arrogance, area of selfishness? Is there an area that you love more of the things that are not of God and think of things that don't honor God than that do? And don't be afraid of that. I had a moment of realization one day when I looked in the mirror and I wasn't sucking in, apparently, what I thought I would normally look like. And so when I looked in the mirror, I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? What happened? And it was a moment of clarity that I don't really like admitting to, but yet it was a, like, wow, I guess when I'm around the mirrors, I guess I suck it in. I didn't know that. But I want to invite you to have that moment in the mirror, because you and I both need that time in the mirror. We both need God's grace. We both need his nudging and his deep work. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen by accident. It's intentional. And so work with the Lord in that. A final word for you. And this really is kind of this whole message in a nutshell. It's about emulating Jesus. To emulate him in our lives means that our life is marked by our living being sacrificial in giving, generous. That our living should be devoted and satisfied, gracious, that we should be marked by God working in us and through us, so that others will come to know him and love him and be known by him. And again, this doesn't just come from me and you trying harder. This comes from a command that Paul gives the early church, talking about Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. We have to really work hard at it. We have to really think hard about it. We have to really consider multiple things so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, our church, our family that's online, is that we would all grow fully mature, that when Jesus comes back, he would say, well done, good and faithful servant. I've seen, I've worked, I've partnered, and he's just so proud. I hope you have a great week, but now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen.